Hi, and welcome again to the Yes and I Am podcast, the podcast where we learn about people. I'm Aaron Max, and today's guest is really, really exciting. I have so many questions for this person, and I'm sure he's got a ton of answers. I am talking about the man who is single-handedly planning our futures, Mr. Elon Musk. How's it going, Elon?
Oh, it's great. Thanks for having me.
What brings you to New York City?
Well, I was thinking about buying it, so...
Wait, buying the city?
Yeah, it seems like a nice city, so I figured why not.
Do you... Well, okay. I mean, I know you have tons and tons of money, but what plans would you have for New York City? It seems like kind of a mess.
Well, I just feel like there's a lot of good architecture and stuff. I want to just maybe set up like a zip lining thing in between buildings.
So you think people could travel better between buildings by zip line?
Yeah, if I let them into the city once I buy it. But mostly it'll just be my place to blow off steam, kind of just zip line around, maybe smash stuff.
Smash stuff?
Yeah, just for fun, you know.
That doesn't seem too much like what you tend to preach of, like, conservation and saving the world and green energy.
Sure, but, you know, New York is, it's kind of too late to save it, so that would just be my place to just kind of let off steam. I own it, so it's, like, not really hurting anyone else if I destroy it.
Is it possible in the United States to own a city?
It will be once I buy it from the right people, yeah.
I'm
actually planning to be the first person to own my own city, so.
First person to own your own city. Now, it's interesting that you're still, like, planning to own stuff on this planet, because I know you've been very interested in setting up a colony on Mars.
Oh, sure, yeah. This will be my place to blow off steam, and then once I'm done there, Mars is where I go to just relax. It's more neighborhoody, you know.
Neighborhoody?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of space. You can just kind of chill out. That's more of just my, you know, laying back pad.
Now, let's take it back a little bit, because you have some interesting beginnings. You're of South African and Canadian descent. You mm-hmm. were actually born in South Africa and then did your schooling in Canada and then moved to the United States. So you actually have triple citizenship, which is very rare. What's it like being from different continents and being from different parts of the world? How has that affected you as a person?
Well, it's affected me in that I can kind of fit in and morph into any part of the world. I feel very versatile. So I think from that experience, it'll be really easy for me to get along with people on Mars because I'll be bringing to it.
Get along with people on Mars. Now, when you eventually move to Mars, will there already be people there? Or are you planning to bring people with you?
I'll bring some people, but I'm also referring to the people of Mars that a lot of people don't know about. It's kind of, we kind of kept it under wraps.
Are you actually referring to actual Martians?
Yes, I'm referring to Martians.
So Martians exist?
Yeah, it's kind of something we've been trying to keep under wraps for now, but...
You heard it here first, listeners. Martians do exist. Now, I know there's been a lot of folklore about Martians. I mean, the most famous one being of the Looney Tunes, Marvin the Martian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was actually inspired by one of the real Martians, and they made a cartoon of it because they figured if you see it in a cartoon, you won't think it's real. So that was kind of an elaborate cover-up to keep people from thinking it was real.
So wait, when was the first time that you learned of extraterrestrial life? Because something kept under wraps so secretly, I'm sure you had to get into, like, some sort of society or clearance or...
Yeah, it's kind of a long story, but basically one night in Canada, I was walking around and I saw this really bright light over a lake. And these guys came out of it. They looked like pretty much like human, but they had green skin.
So they have green skin, very much like, you know, that pop culture, like, big-headed alien?
Yeah, their heads were a little larger than normal. And they were like, hey, we're from Mars, we want to give you a lot of money. And that's kind of how I first became rich.
So wait, Martians had Canadian dollars and they spoke English?
Yeah, they're pretty able to adapt to different cultures when they travel, kind of like me, and that's what they liked about me. So they're like, this guy gets it. I think he'd be a good ally to eventually come here, start his own colony. We'll give him some funds to kind of get started.
This is very interesting because if they were already among us, I'm sure they had like very advanced technology. Has some of your own technology been adapted from Martian technology?
Well, yeah, I don't like to get that out in the public, but yeah, I have to, if I'm being honest, I do have to give a lot of credit to the Martians. They came up with like 90% of the ideas, so I'm kind of just piggybacking off of that, and I just, you know, sometimes I'm a little selfish, so I like people to think I'm coming up with all these amazing products, but it's actually a lot of help from the guys above.
Now, I know you have so many companies, and I'm interested to, like, how many of them are Martian-influenced. I mean, you have the... Your most famous one is Tesla. You have the car company.
Big Martian influence there. That was... they were the ones that were like, hey, electricity, cars, why not?
So there's electricity on Mars?
Yeah, they kind of have a little shield thing over it, so you can't tell from NASA in space. It's kind of complicated technology that it's hard to explain, but basically they have a fully electrically run society that also relies on solar panels, so they never have to run out.
I have to ask, because they exist secretly, yet we've sent rovers to Mars, how come we've never seen them?
You know what it is? They're really good at hiding. So when the rover is looking around, they're usually like right behind it. It's kind of like when you tap your friend on the shoulder and then you're kind of like running around behind him, but he keeps turning so he doesn't think anyone's there. That's what the Martians do if they happen to see a rover. But it's a big planet.
So,
you know?
So the Martians are just messing with us?
Yeah, and a lot that they like to joke around. The thing is, there's also a lot of space there, so... You know, a lot of times they just aren't nearby the rover.
I mean, makes sense. I mean, it is a whole planet, and we're just investigating. Like, for all we know, we could be in their equivalent of the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they make fun of the rovers for that a lot. They're like, oh man, why is he hanging out in that area? The place is not cool anymore.
The place is not cool. So they very much have, like, a pop culture to themselves as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They have a very rich pop culture. They kind of have Martian celebrities. You know, there's, like, Mars Clooney. He's kind of like the George Clooney.
Mars Clooney?
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of like George Clooney, but he lives on Mars, and... he's, like, very successful there, so he decided to name himself after the planet
that
he was on, you know. It's kind of like Captain Planet here. Like, he's a big celebrity here. He named himself after a planet.
Well, Captain Planet is a fictional character.
Right. I'm saying from our limited understanding on Earth, it's kind of the closest analogy I can have since...
That's fair. Now, is there any crossover? Is there any Martians that disguise themselves as human celebrities that want to branch out into, like, Hollywood?
Oh, sure, yeah. All the Kardashians are actually Martians.
Wait, Kardashians are Martians?
Yeah, so a lot of times when they get criticized for, you know, like, enhancing parts of their body, that's actually their natural Martian thing that, you know, people don't think it's real. And they're right that it's not human, but it's actually...
No, I know, like...
Part of their Martian
biology. Many of the Kardashians have had offspring with humans. Now, are Martians able to mate with humans? Or
yes.
Is there something else going on there?
Yeah, so then that offspring becomes a half Martian, half human being. But they're able to make them appear human because that's one of their powers.
Okay, so they have powers.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
are these technological powers? Or are these actually, like, physical powers that they have that humans don't?
Well, the Martians are pretty advanced, so it's kind of a combination. Like, to us, it would seem like magic, but it's really an advanced technology that they're so used to using, it almost comes naturally to them.
Now, have the Martians allowed you to investigate and learn this technology? I mean... I'm sure there's tons of things we could use, like cloaking technologies and, like, changing appearance technologies in our own world.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they actually just gave me a bit of the juice that they drink there, which gives me that power, and I can shapeshift at will now.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah, which means, you know, if I'm ever don't want to get recognized or something, I can just...
Have you done this in, like, public? And if so, who do you shapeshift to?
You know, it kind of depends on the situation, but sometimes, like, like, if I'm trying to sneak into somewhere, then I'll shapeshift into, like, a person that works there, so it'll be easier to get in. Because, like, I could just get in because I'm Elon Musk, but...
I mean,
sometimes I don't feel like it, you know.
You do seem like you have a great sense of humor. Have you ever, like, shapeshifted to someone just to, like, mess with someone?
Oh, sure. Like, when I was buying New York, I shapeshifted into a tiny child just because I thought it would be humorous if the people that were selling the city and handing over this great city thought that a small child was buying it. And then afterwards, I shapeshift back into Elon Musk, and I was like, I got him. That's what I refer to myself in the third person a lot.
No, that's completely fair. I mean, it must get confusing if you're shapeshifting so often that you don't know what your original form is if you stay in another form long enough.
Right. Sometimes if you stay there too long, it's harder to switch back. So I like to limit it to maybe 12 hours max and then go back to normal.
Is it a painful process?
It hurts the first couple of times. Can be rough. After that, it's a little easier, you know. It just takes practice. It's one of those things. You just you get better. You get less nervous each time, and then by now it's like I can just do it. Like, check this out.
Oh, you look like George Clooney right now.
I know. Yeah. I haven't figured out how to change the voice yet, but it is nice to be able to look exactly like. Okay.
So,
all right, I'm back.
Oh wow, that was I expected it so like.
I don't like to stay in that one too long because it's very draining. It takes a lot of my energy to put out that much charisma. So.
No, I imagine now. I have to ask. Because now, like, I just saw you as George Clooney. Does Mars Clooney look like George Clooney?
Mars Clooney is very similar, but he does have a greenish large head and a green skin. So other than that, they do actually have a lot of parallels, but I wouldn't say they're the same person.
Is there, like, a Mars equivalent to, like, ER and, like, all the movies and film, like, TV shows that George Clooney has done?
There is a lot of overlap, yeah. There was Mars R, which took place in a hospital, a Martian hospital. And there was a Mars Man, which was very similar to George Clooney's Batman.
His Batman and Robin?
His take on it, yeah. In this case, the Robin is played by a character from Saturn. And so they kind of had a team up for that.
But, wait, so there's life on Saturn too?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I wasn't really supposed to
talk no, you no, about I, this, but... I mean, you weren't supposed to tell us about the Martians either, but...
This is all very confidential, but yes.
Have you traveled to these planets?
Yeah, like you said, I'm very good at traveling. I spent a time on a lot of continents, so at this point I figured I've seen all of Earth, why not see more planets? And you'd be surprised, there's a lot of life out there that, you know, some of them just want to keep to themselves, so they haven't really announced it yet, but... You know, there's some good planets out there. A lot of
What is your favorite cool areas. Planet to visit?
Well, my favorite planet, I have to say, I don't know if I should be saying this because some people don't consider it a planet, but Pluto is it's great. Great,
yeah, no,
great
I,
vacation
I,
spot.
I know here on Earth we announced that it was a dwarf planet.
Right. And, you know, that's what's cool about it. It's kind of like having your own private island because it's like... It's not too big, it's not too small, you can just still have a lot of room to vacation.
I have to say, other planets seem pretty vacant, and, like, there wouldn't be a lot
Yeah, that's
to
what's
do.
Great about it. You have the whole thing to yourself, you know? It's like, imagine having a whole resort that's all yours. That's
yeah, but then, like the resorts have amenities, Like, I feel like if I was to travel to Pluto, I'd get out there and be like, oh, this is nice, this is cool, look at all this space. And then it's like, I'm hungry. What do I eat?
They actually have a lot of good local food there that people don't know about. And I try to keep that a secret because the cool thing is that it's not too crowded right now. Everyone's like, oh, it's a dwarf planet, it's not worth going. But I'm like, all the better. More Pluto cherries for me.
Now, I have to ask, because it seems like you do a lot of interplanetary travel.
Oh, yeah, like 2 or 3 times a week.
Why are you holding out on the rest of us Earthlings here?
Well, as much as I'd like to tell everyone on Earth about this, I just feel like a lot of people aren't ready. You know, there's still a lot of things we have to work out on Earth, I think, before I can bring other people. There's a lot of wars and a lot of struggles happen here. So I think once we clear all that up, I think we'll all be ready to...
Okay, I'm going to have to ask. Yeah. Have these other civilizations have... They figured out how to have, like, planetary peace?
Oh, yeah. They're super, super happy, super utopian. It's great. It's,
How do they run their governments? Like, there has to be some sort of power struggle. I mean, I'm only saying it because I'm human, and it seems the human thing to do is to have power struggles.
Yeah, that is a very human thing to do. The thing is, Martians are a little more advanced, you know, so they work out their problems organically, and...
How do they work out their problems?
You know, a lot of times they'll have sessions where they can touch hands together and then telepathically everything's sorted out, so there's really no miscommunication, no conflict. And everyone's happy. Everyone gets exactly the resources they need.
Ideally, how would you incorporate that kind of system here on Earth? Because I feel like if we all knew how each other were feeling and we could all relate, like, telepathically, there would be a lot less, like, conflict.
Yeah, it would be nice. I think right now the resources are a little bit limited because it's kind of designed just for their planet, but... They're looking into some humanitarian efforts where they can maybe start sending some of the Mars juice over here. I think it'll help people develop some of the telepathy, and that would help solve problems for sure.
Do you have a specific company that you are running right now that would be able to implement techniques and technologies like this?
Yes, it's called Marsk, which is kind of like a combination of Mars and Musk. So... it's kind of a joint effort with me and the people of Mars as a group, since we had a telepath session, everyone on the planet, and we came to an agreement that would be the best way to do it. So it'll be probably getting here in a couple of years. We're still working on
developing. I mean, you still enough. Have to do that big reveal to the people of Earth that Martians exist.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of new information for most people to swallow, so...
I mean, with movies like Mars Attacks, I mean...
There's a lot of negative press out there.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be scared, not going to want to know what to do. But you think 2 years is a timetable that you're working towards?
I hope so, yeah. I think the humans on Earth have come a long way, and I just feel like I'm hoping that we'll have some more press out there maybe before we announce it, just so people aren't too afraid right now. As you mentioned with Mars Attacks, there were a lot of like very racist depictions of Martians as like these kind of attackers, and so we're trying to change that so people know that the people of Mars are very, in general, very peaceful and you know, actually very way better and as people than anyone on Earth. So we're hoping to eventually get the word out.
All right. Well, that is fascinating. I have to be straight with you, Elon. I had a whole list of questions, and I was going to ask you about all your endeavors here on Earth, but we had no time to get to them.
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of the small potatoes at this point, but that's what I do in my free time.
Wow. All right. I'm going to move into some speed round games, basically little fun things to do. First game is Fuck, Marry, Kill. Are you familiar with the game?
Oh, sure.
All right, well, I have 3 names. You tell me which category each goes into. First name, Thomas Edison. Second name, Ben Franklin. Third name, Alexander Graham Bell.
Okay. Well, That's a really good question. I think Ben Franklin, of course, has some famous strategies of how to win over enemies. Like, he would ask them to borrow a book, and then he'd read it, and then give it back to them, and then thank them, and then he would trick his enemies into believing that they were actually his friend. And so he would get rid of his enemies by befriending them, and I consider that super, like, kind of manipulative, so I'm going to kill him for sure.
All right.
And who are the other ones?
Thomas Edison and Alexander Graham Bell.
Okay, well, Alexander Graham Bell, I think I would, and I can't kill anymore, is that correct?
I mean, it seems like you're writing the rules right now, so if you would like to kill another, go right ahead.
Okay, well, I'll marry him and get all of those telephone residuals, but then I would like to kill him shortly after. And then the other person...
Thomas Edison.
Yeah, I'd fuck him. Why not? He deserves it. He invented a lot of stuff.
I mean...
But I think
that is debatable. Some people say he didn't invent them, that he had other people.
That's actually a really good point. He took advantage of a lot of other people's labors. So
are you going to kill him too?
I would, contractually within the game, I do have to fuck him. But afterwards, I would kill him in an even more brutal way than the others.
Very interesting. For someone that has been preaching peace this whole podcast, you want to keep a high body count.
Yes, well... I preach peace for everyone except those three guys.
All right.
Fuck those guys.
No worries. Now I'm going to move into a little bit of word association. This game where I will just say a word, you say the first thing that comes to mind.
All right.
Space.
Mars.
Cosmos.
Reminds me of Cosmopolitan, my favorite drink.
Electric.
That's my batch pad. That's how it's run.
Future.
Mars.
Money.
That's what the Martians gave me.
Civilization.
It's gonna be great on Mars.
Fame.
That's what I'm gonna be once I tell people about the Martians.
Travel.
To Pluto next week. Vacation planned.
Extinction.
What the humans will be if they don't solve their problems within 2 years and we have to destroy them instead of giving them the technology to be telepathic.
All right. Well, that's about all we have time for today, Elon. Thank you for coming out here and sharing all this knowledge with us. It has been great. Is there anything you want to say to our listeners before you head out?
Oh, listener, I kind of thought this was like a private conversation. A lot of this is very confidential.
I'll be sure to redact some of it.
Oh, good. Just, if you could just take out everything, that'd be great. I appreciate
it. All right. Well, thank you for stopping by. I've learned a lot, and thank you all for listening, or not listening, because this is going to be gone. And we'll see you all next time. Thank you again for listening to the Yes and I Am podcast. This podcast has been completely improvised, so instead of having the actual Elon Musk here, it has been my buddy Jacob Williams. How's it going, man?
It's great. I'm glad you told people that, because I think a lot of people were concerned that was all real.
That was really Elon Musk. He had a shape-shifting device, and Elon Musk could have been any one of us.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't want that out there, so... If anyone asks, yes, that was all made up, and that's not what he's like.
I can't be certain that's not what he's like. I've never met the guy, and who knows? Maybe he has been to Mars already.
Yep, it's...
He does seem to like possible. To test things without us knowing. I don't know if you remember, like, a few months ago when there was that, like, glow over California... Okay. And, like, everyone was, like, freaking out about it, but apparently it was, like, a SpaceX test.
That's crazy. Did he just send a car into space, or is that...
Yeah, he did. He sent a Tesla Roadster up there.
Pretty crazy.
And it is currently in space with a dummy driver.
I was, like, if you're just going to throw it into space, could you just give me a car next time? Because I'll actually get some use out of it.
Yeah,
That's where I felt like your portrayal of Elon Musk not caring too much about humans wasn't too far off.
Thanks. No, I really don't know much about him, but it was, yeah, that was.
I didn't even get to.
I was going for accuracy.
There was a part I wanted to get to because there's just so many crazy facts about this guy. The fact that he sells flamethrowers now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his company, The Boring Company, they haven't actually sold an actual product. They used to sell hats. They just had The Boring Company. And then they sell, like, mini flamethrowers.
Yeah.
And they're sold out. Like, people just want to buy anything that comes from this guy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's kind of
nuts. I wish I could sell the tickets to my comedy shows that he's in.
Yeah.
I'll just tell people there's flamethrowers in my next show.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, if you start off your comedy show, like, shooting a flamethrower, because these things only shoot, like...
There's going to be a lot of pyrotechnics at all my shows this year.
They only shoot, like, a foot and a half, like, in front of themselves, so they're not really, like...
So it's, like, for cooking and stuff?
Yeah, it looks like a blowtorch, but they're, like, gun-shaped.
Wow, yeah, that's really
They look like they're from, like, Starship Troopers.
Okay, so,
They're cool-looking. I mean, if I had, like... money that I just didn't care about, I would have bought one and just been like, heh. Although there's some states that are trying to make them illegal, especially California. It's
really dangerous.
California's like, hey, we have forest fires, don't give people flame guns.
I'm trying to think of like what the best case scenario is that's gonna come out of that.
Yeah, apparently flamethrowers not illegal in the United States though.
Wow.
Surprisingly. Like that seems like something people shouldn't be able to arm themselves with.
Yeah, it seems pretty dangerous, pretty painful if you get caught on fire.
Yeah. He hasn't really explained or gone into much about that. I'm going to list off some of the things I wanted to touch for Elon Musk because, like, his companies are just nuts. Like, he has one called Neuralink that their goal is to make brain-operated computers.
Okay, wow.
So, like... ultimately, his dream, I guess, is the Matrix, you know?
Brain-operated computers.
Yeah, or just, like, being able to link your brain with computers.
So it's like you're, like, an avatar in a robot,
and exactly. Your brain is, or, like, controlling it. Yeah, I am not smart enough to know how this would work.
Really?
Also,
it's like the Pacific Rim kind of...
Exactly, the kind of the rift situation. On an equal note, he has a company called OpenAI that's an artificial intelligence company that he plans on making friendly artificial intelligence.
Okay, wow.
So
it always starts that way. Sure, they're nice at first.
If we have Skynet within the next few years, we know who to blame. It's going to be Elon Musk because...
Yeah, I don't think we'll have Skynet, but it might be like called PiNet or something, and we'll be like, oh, it's... totally different. We're fine.
Musknet. What was the company you came up with that was like...
Marsk?
Marsk? Yeah, Marsk. Which is... I don't know. I
a lot of Mars-heavy lingo in that.
Yeah, no, it's funny. In the Fuck, Marry, Kill, I specifically left out Nikola Tesla because I'm like, of course he's going to choose to like marry Nikola Tesla. That's
it would make it easier.
Company.
I'm not sure why he was bloodthirsty in that game and wanted to kill everyone, but
I mean
he has a very
he gave reasons.
I guess he did think it through at least. That's good.
I mean,
he's not without reason.
His reasons were warranted. He found the bad in each one of the three people and he was like,
yeah, it was very strange.
Actually, Alexander Graham Bell, you didn't say anything bad about him, but he actually stole his patent for the telephone from another inventor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't know about that.
Not a great person either, I guess. But yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun in this bizarro Elon Musk world. So, Jacob, you're a comedian in New York City, touring around the country, maybe even around the world?
That's the plan, yeah. I'm hoping to do more. I'm kind of talking to some places now about maybe doing some shows in other countries eventually, so... we'll see. Right now, I have a few shows lined up for around the America at the moment. But, yeah, I'm working on a couple other things. And, just trying to write and get on stage and keep doing comedy wherever they'll have me. So.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I mean, you were just on Late Night Stephen Colbert, right?
That was super fun. Yeah, that was definitely nice to do that, because I always grew up watching The Late Show, so it was, like, cool to be in that same space.
It's Late Show. I get the
oh,
them all
confused. Yeah, no, a lot of people confuse it. They're like, congrats on Conan, congrats on
whatever. No, they get the host wrong.
Yeah, like I don't think anyone, yeah, seems to pay that much attention. They're like, yeah, a lot of people are, but, which, yeah, they're just like, congrats on whatever it is.
No, it was really cool, huge stuff. So, if people want to come out to your shows, if you have one coming up, where can they find your stuff?
Oh, well, I'm on Twitter, mrjacobwilliams, and jacobwilliamscomedy.com has my tour dates, and then I'm on Instagram, which is the same as my Twitter, so, yeah.
And one more time, what's your handle?
It's Mr. Jacob Williams, or, like, Mr. Jacob Williams.
Very cool. No punctuation, just straightforward.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again, Jacob, for coming out here. It has been a lot of fun. And we'd also like to thank the artist Regulus for the use of our theme song. It's his song, Yarning. Go check him out on SoundCloud. He's got lots of great music. Also, if you haven't rated and reviewed our podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, please do it. It helps more people find the show, and it keeps us happy. Also, we also have an Instagram that you can follow. We are at Yes and I Am. Go over there, check us out. We post a lot of fun stuff. Thank you all for listening again, and we will see you all next time.